Welcome to the Tiger Performance Podcast, where we feature high-achieving entrepreneurs and coaches and share their performance journeys. Now, let's get started with the show.
Steve Adams here, founder and CEO of Tiger Performance and Medical Institutes. I'm the host of the Tiger Performance Podcast, where I talk with entrepreneurs, executives, professionals, and thought leaders about their unique stories and performance journeys. We've had genetics experts, Super Bowl athletes, game-changing health professionals, and amazing entrepreneurs with stories that will inspire you. Okay, it's time to acknowledge our sponsor for today's episode, the Tiger Medical and Performance Institutes. Our focus is on the mid-career high achiever who at a time they should be at their best are starting to wear down from the pressure, stress, and sleepless nights. Tiger's unique system helps successful leaders complete a transformative medical makeover without the time-consuming and confusing fads or biohacks using our proven and proprietary system. The Tiger system is a personalized root cause approach to anti-aging medicine. Through the integration of doctor care and health coaching, we help successful people regain mental and physical energy and reach a peak state of health today while enabling them to sustain elite performance and health tomorrow, expanding their impact, extending their careers. The Tiger system is transforming lives today and creating a better tomorrow. So what are you waiting for? Visit tigerpi.com today to learn more. All right, I have a good friend of mine. Our guest today is Ron Wolforth, founder and CEO of the Texas Baseball Ranch located in Montgomery, Texas. He's considered a master teacher and is known as America's go-to guy on pitching because of his practical and innovative approach to performance issues. Coach Wolforth has worked with major leaguers like Justin Verlander, Trevor Bauer, and Chin-Ming Wang, and more than 121 of his clients have been drafted into the major league since 2003. He is the author of 6 previous books on pitching and has created numerous groundbreaking training programs. And just to give you a little more background here, since 2003, 408 ranch students have broken the 90-mile-an-hour barrier. 140 students have broken the 94-mile-an-hour barrier, and 20 have broken the 100-mile-an-hour barrier. The ranch leads the world in objective measurement of baseball pitching training. Every single day, the ranch is transforming the lives of young men all around the world by refusing to place athletes in boxes, refusing to use and accept traditional labels, refusing to strictly choreograph everybody's movement, or force athletes into one-size-fit-all programs. The Texas Baseball Ranch is about the hyper-personalization of training protocols and the customization of personal training regimens. Ron, welcome to the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's great to see you again, my friend.
Yeah. And you know what? You've had quite a journey in the last 30 years as an entrepreneur, as a thought leader. You know, and I have to be full disclosure here. Ron was very instrumental in helping my son get to the college level as a pitcher. And so this is a fun one. It's a personal one. And so we'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've been traveling down this road together for a while. You know,
about 2010.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing.
Yeah, I know. We're both getting old.
you're trying to help me be less so. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Ron, tell us first of all, just kind of give us an overview of your family. I mean, you've got a son in the major, you know, in the he's a professional baseball player. So we want to hear about that too. So go ahead and share.
Well, I grew up in Western Nebraska, which is very sparsely populated. So I was a baseball player. I was a 3-sport athlete, and I was kind of an academic kid. I went to the University of Nebraska, basically on an academic scholarship, but I wanted to play baseball, and I ended up not playing baseball. Well, I was there. I had a clipboard. That's what I did. My year. And then I 5 years later, I was at. I've been at 5 different schools, which is a record. I don't know if anybody's ever, people can tie that record, I suppose, but I was at 5 different schools in 5 different years. I finished out my career at Sam Houston State in Texas. And I will tell you this, Steve, and this is important a thing to start with. Our path sometimes seems maybe windy or broken. And I've come to realize that if I would have went to the University of Nebraska, my first stop, and I would have played there all 4 years, unless I had a very successful college career at Nebraska, I would not have known nearly what I know 5 years later, because I played for five different coaches. Four of them were successful, and one of them was not. But what I learned in that whole experience was that there are many ways to be successful. There's not just one. And so I really began my eclectic type of growth, and the way I look at things and the way I absorb things from all different areas. And I don't get caught up in just one system. And it was it really shaped me to be who I am today, is that I don't think there's one way to do anything, and there's many ways to be successful. Now, of course, there are principles that apply, but those applications can vary greatly amongst people. And that's certainly, you mentioned earlier on the Texas Baseball Ranch, it's a hyper-personalized program. And your son came in as a pitcher and as a lefty, and as, you know, with unique characteristics and qualities and abilities, and some unique constraints and limitations, and how we can help him navigate through that. That's what makes the Texas Baseball Ranch so successful. And so that upbringing, that experience of being at five different schools in 5 different years. And so, real briefly, people like, how did that happen? Really quickly.
Sure. Go ahead.
Played at Nebraska. I held a clipboard at Nebraska. I transferred to junior college. I played 1 year of junior college in Arizona. Then I transferred obviously I had all my credits, so going a third year at junior college was not an option unless I wanted to have a double major. So I went to the University of Idaho in Moscow, Idaho. I helped that program so much, Steve, that they dropped the program the next year. I transferred out of that. I went back home. I tried to go back to Nebraska, and they said, no, we already kind of saw you before. And so I ended up at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. At that point, it was Kearney State. I played baseball there. And then I kind of figured out by that time that I wasn't going to be a professional baseball player probably, but I really had my heart set on coaching it. And so I wanted to go down south. I wanted to go a place where I could get my master's and actually be in the middle of baseball. And so I transferred to Sam Houston State University. I did my final year there. I ended up graduating from Sam Houston State and working on my master's there. And so that was five different schools in 5 different years. And the only organization of those five that were not very successful was the University of Idaho. They dropped the program. So a lot of different philosophies on that, and that really helped shape me as a teacher. And so then I married, I got married at Sam Houston State, I had a daughter. Her name is Samantha, and she's now 36 years old, she has three children. So I have three granddaughters. And then I went back to Nebraska and I coached the softball program there. I ended up getting divorced. A couple years later, I married my current wife, Jill. We've now been married almost 30 years. And we have a son, Garrett, who is now in the Cincinnati Red organization. And Jill and I have been working on our business, which is it started out to be the Can-Am Baseball Softball Academy, eventually turned into the Texas Baseball Ranch. And that has been basically a 26-year journey. And we created probably one of the most successful baseball training facilities in the world today. So it's been a ride.
A long ride. And Ron, I know you, so you have
you're kind of an eclectic reader too. You read widely, and you know, I'm in the business, a pure business world, finance world, and Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett are people that I've studied for 30 years. And sure. They talk about how they read in biology and physics and all these other areas so that they can integrate their thinking to help them make better decisions in business. And that's something I did. I followed that. I've read almost 4,000 books, and it's been amazing how it's helped my mind develop. Was that 5-year experience, was that formative in you taking on that kind of a eclectic learning habit to try to make you the coach you are today?
I don't know. It would certainly help. I think I've always been eclectic, and it's kind of funny. I don't know if you even know this, but I always read 3 books at once. I don't mean I read them at the exact same moment.
Yeah, right.
I'm rotating reading uh-huh. like a chapter and a chapter and a chapter, right? And they're different topics, they're different subjects. And the reason that really helps me is it just doesn't allow me to, it just keeps me expansive,
yeah.
right? It doesn't allow me to get too narrowed in. And I think I've always been, I think to answer your question succinctly, I've always been a very curious, guy, and I always really loved, and you and I have talked about this multiple times when you're talking about, especially your daughter. I was always a philosophy, history, English lit kind of guy. So I love that. I was a history teacher. And so I really do love the different writings of different periods of history, whether that's the Enlightenment, that the Renaissance, or... Mm-hmm. more of the classic texts, or very, very Western civ. But I always thought that has really helped shape me as a business owner, because there was always a philosophy behind what we did. It wasn't just to make money. It really was about something bigger than that. And I think that was a really driving force for Jill and I, as we've built this business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I see that. And I had a thought, but I lost it. So we're just going to go to the next question.
Just for example, you and I were just one of the really interesting conversations we had is that you didn't even know, let's say a couple years ago, that I actually was a basketball coach at one point. And I know you
right.
were a basketball coach. And I've told you probably the best job of coaching I ever did was I took a team that was 1-17 as seventh graders and turned them into, I think they were something like 19-5 the next year.
Yeah.
How I used my eclectic way of thinking.
Right.
That because I was not a basketball. I played basketball, but I wasn't like you. I wasn't so nearly as sophisticated as you were as a basketball mind. And so I had to kind of learn, and I just picked different things. So that's why I think a lot of people can be successful. You can, stand on the shoulders of giants because they're out there, whether it's Warren Buffett or John Wooden or whatever. Right. You can learn from those people, and you should.
Buffett always says, learn from the eminent dead, by the way, someday I may have you on for a podcast where all you do is tell your basketball story, because it's the greatest basketball story I've ever heard in my life. You had me spellbound for 45 minutes when we were at the airport there that one day. But I know what the thought was, and a couple thoughts. One is, you know, this is about, I think, the 60th interview I've done for this podcast, and everybody on here has been very successful, and everybody is curious. And I think that is like one of the principles of being successful. And I think probably in your athletes, your best athletes are the ones that are curious, and they're always learning, right?
100%.
Yeah. And the other thing I would tell you is I learned this from when I was researching my book, in neuroscience, when we read nonfiction, when we read fiction for 20 minutes a day, it actually fires our pattern recognition. And so that's one of the things I do is every day I read 20 minutes of nonfiction and then 20 minutes of fiction as part of my morning routine. And I've been doing that for years, and I will tell you, it works.
Oh, wow. You know what? That's something I'm going to, I'm a big nonfiction guy, and I need to expand on that. Now, you probably also know, I know you know this, and the person that was so impressed by this fact that I think it stunned him, was that I've written a Broadway play, or I've lived. A play, a musical. And that comes from that sort of thing, right? So a lot of people would go, you know,
what are you doing as a baseball pitcher coach? Play?
Yeah. And so it's very much that way. Like I'm curious. I love music. I love Jill and I just went to a play here. Investors or I don't know how you want to say it.
Patrons or something.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. We're patrons of two different theater groups in the greater Houston area. You know, young people doing these plays because I think that's phenomenal. Trying to help them, but we went to our first one the other night. It was fantastic. I just think that is so powerful for the human spirit, but. Based on what you just said, I'm going to start doing that.
And I'll give you some offline suggestions on what to read. Don't start with War and Peace. That'll be my first advice. I've read it twice, actually. It's a 1,200-page book.
I'll start with a mystery. I like those mystery novels. So,
well, you know, one of the things I would tell you, though, there's probably thousands of men like you around the country who have started little pitching businesses that are still doing the same thing they were doing 20 years ago because they weren't as curious and eclectic as you are. And so for you to find the patterns out there in the niche that you're in took that kind of preparatory work. And that's the big takeaway here. So Ron, paint a picture for our listeners about your business. Okay. Give them an idea of what you do.
Well, I started in the lesson business, and basically what I mean by the lesson business, for those people that don't have athletes, it's very much like you take a piano lesson or you take a musical lesson. In baseball, you go for a half an hour or 45 minutes or an hour, and you go to an instructor and they teach you how to hit, field, throw, pitch, whatever. That's what started. That started in 1991. I was a college coach, probably one of the younger. If you want to win a bar bet, I was a head Division I coach at 25 years old, which is
very young.
At that point, was the youngest. I don't know if it still is, but I imagine I have to be in the one of the top. So I was a head coach. So I'm coaching 21 and 22 year old females, and I'm 25 year old male. So I mean, that's a challenge in and of itself, right?
Right.
I think I coached 7 years in college. So then 1991, I began my private business where I'm training individual athletes, and it's called what we call the lesson business and the academy business. And I built up this company prior to really meeting Dan Kennedy. You and I have been really influenced by Dan Kennedy. I built up the company to, we did almost 800 lessons a month.
Wow.
Staff. And that's just a lot of lessons. Right. And I was not satisfied. Now we were doing fine financially, but I was not satisfied with the impact we were having on the individual athletes. I said, there's gotta be a better way. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing different things. I started doing group lessons and trying to train differently, and we started to do events versus the one on, and just trading dollars for hours.
Time. Yeah. Yep.
And slowly developed this business into it is a multi-million dollar business. And most of what we do is really large events where we have 32 athletes come in from all over the United States, even from Michigan. Okay.
Yeah.
All over the United States, they come in. Matter of fact, from
overseas, too.
Puerto Rico, from Canada, from Mexico, from Venezuela, all the way even to Europe, right? Mm-hmm. And Japan. And so that has morphed into that. And then we went into the info product sales. And then we went into actually online training of these individuals. And there's multiple different revenue streams. Mm-hmm. And we still have the private lesson for, but it's a very small part of our revenue pie.
Right.
Is private one-on-one lessons. And most of it is these larger events.
Right.
And basically it is a very holistic, very hyper-personalized approach, mm-hmm. Taking a look at guys and finding out what are their possible limitations or constraints that's keeping them from improving them, going to the next level right now. Why are they already not better than they are? And we do a lot of assessments. So first we assess, then we
capture. Ron, can I interject right there? Can I interject there? Because I think that's the key to what you do is that take us through that assessment process. Because obviously not for 20 minutes, but how you video record a kid and how you break them down into, there's six areas, I think. I don't know if that's still true, but six areas that you look at.
Yeah, it's still true. So the assessment part is really big, right? So for example, when for your company, or even in your past company, when you were a banker, right? You take your assessment.
Yep.
And you say, all right, is this, so for example, for me, before you even had Dr. Matt, had a talk with me, we had assessments, right? I turn in my blood work and I get all the other tests.
Yeah.
They take a look at it and they get a profile of me and then they say, okay. And then Dr. Matt sits down and talks to me and asks me now some questions. And so now he gets a better idea of who I am and where I'm going, and you get your genetic test. We do the exact same thing with the Texas Baseball Ranch. We do a video analysis, high speed video analysis. We also do what's called a functional movement screen, so we get to know about their body and how they move, mm-hmm. and any limitations in mobility, flexibility, stability, strength, and then we put them on a TrackMan. Which is technology that tells us about their spin rate, spin efficiency, vertical break, horizontal break, all that. And so based on all that, we get all that together and we say, okay, so here's your profile. And then we have them do kind of a self-assessment on velocity, command, and some other performance parameters. And with all that, we can now plan a path forward for them. Now
it's very individualized.
Absolutely hyper personalized, right?
Yep, right?
And so I think a lot of people that will be listening to this today would go, well, that makes perfect sense. Why doesn't everybody do that? And the answer is I don't know. But the real thing about our life, as you know, is that most people in every area, why do you think there's a Mayo Clinic, right?
Right.
The most people don't do that. Most people try to have very light general assessments and make these real wholesale determinations based on really
minimal information.
Exactly. Minimal. Yeah. That's very well said. Minimal information. Yeah. And so what we want to do, we want to flip that on its head. And I really believe, and I know you do too, on that the individual, the way we're created, even in my family, I have two sisters. And I have a son and a daughter, and I have three grandchildren, and they're all completely different.
Right.
And yet the genetic makeup is very similar, very, very similar. And yet they're so different. And So we all have different places we're at, different needs. And so until we, and unless and until we really are able to uncover those, we're not going to be very good at programming or planning something for the future for them that's going to be very efficient or productive.
You also start with if the kid is having any pain.
Absolutely. That's right. Probably the essential element of it, right? So if I have pain, it's going to stop me from everything, right? So I need to address. We say start with the pain, and that's right. Very much so. But it's the same thing, I'm sure, in every business. So if you're really trying to start a business, I was just talking with somebody the other day, Steve, about this. They felt like they wanted to go into flipping houses. They saw it on TV and they go, This is neat. We can just go in there and we can flip houses, whatever. And I said, okay. I said, I have nothing against flipping houses, but that process is going to be way more than you think it is. And they go, oh, you know what could it be? And I said, you have no idea, right? And so you need to go in and you need to go back and you need to really assess all the things that are going on and see if that's a good fit for you. He came back a month later and goes, you are so right. That would have been a nightmare if I would have got into that, right? Huh. And so what a lot of times what we think is this, we don't really understand all that's involved in it. And so you have to go back to your curiosity. You have to be at least curious to find out what in the heck it, you have to pull back layers of the onion and find out where you're at on this sort of thing. And I think most people do not, as a typical rule, do not do that very well. And that's the reason that the people that do are, I think, go to the top of the class fairly quickly.
Well, going back to your core process too, I'll share my son's experience because I think it's very illustrative of what someone who's listening who may have a nephew or a family member that could benefit. You know, my son was a very athletic left-handed pitcher, had some height. He had really long arms, but he was struggling to get his velocity past about 83, 84 miles an hour, which in high school is really great. You know, if you're a lefty throwing 83, 84, you can get a lot of guys out. But his senior year, he started to have elbow pain and never had that before. And we didn't really know what to do. I fortunately knew you. And you looked at one video and said, bring him down. And so I went down with my son and I was really impressed because you guys did that video and then you slow-mo'd the cam. And these were biomechanical analysis. This isn't just you're having some random, I have a gut feel here thing. You were pinpointing placement of elbow, placement of hips, and how high his hand was in the peak of his you call that when their hands behind their head.
Yep.
And so from all of that, for him, you actually found the one area where he needed to work to get rid of that pain first, and then equipped him with drills to do when he got home to be able to do that. And that's what happened. The pain went away. And you know, he was never going to play professional. His goal was he just wanted to play in college.
Right, right.
And the Texas Baseball Ranch made that dream happen for him because he was able to go to college and then his consistent fastball velocity was 88, 89. Yep. He never hit the consistent 90, but he was able to compete and do okay and make his dream happen because of that specificity of your program. And that's the specificity we have in our Tiger Medical program. It's the same idea. It's like everybody's unique, everybody's different. You're going to have a hyper personalized plan when you're done. So I just wanted to make sure that really came out clear.
And I think I will state our two companies are very similar also in this way. I remember having that conversation with you. And I'm sure you have had multiple conversations with executives that are, let's say, like me, that are 60 years old. And you're like, hey, if we can help you with this, this, and this, your productivity is going to go this way. And your job, and I'm sure most of the time they go, yeah, sure.
Right. Yep.
There's the doubt. And so when I told you, I still remember this, and I told you and Colin the first time, I think we can, we're going to have to do this and we can improve your velo. And both of you kind of went, We hope so, but I don't, right?
Right.
And so the first level you have to get over is, and I got over the Tiger performance thing pretty quickly because I believed in you, but it wasn't just that, Steve. It was like, that made sense to me, right?
Right. Yeah.
The process made sense to me. And so when I asked you, and of course, I was lucky enough to be in the room when you're describing the process. So it wasn't a sales call only. It was really going back to the philosophy. And I'm thinking, you know what? This will work, right? This will work. I don't know to what degree it will work, but it will work, right? There's no doubt this process does something. And I think, so once you guys got down to the ranch, you and Colin, you made that call. I could see the light bulb specifically for Colin come on.
Yeah.
And go,
which was most important. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, yes. You know, I did this and that didn't hurt. And that makes sense. Right. So I think what we're trying to do is really that there's this level, and I always tell people this, that there's cynicism and there's skepticism. I think skepticism is good. It's not bad. Skepticism is a sign of a working mind. You don't buy into everything, right? You're like, wait a minute. Prove that to me, right? Now, cynicism, that's a different thing. That's not good. That's you've already decided and it's not going to work, right? And so we know people that are cynical and you know people that are skeptical. Give me people that are skeptical all day long. I get along with them fine. Cynical people, I try to stay away from as much as I possibly can. They're a waste. They're for the most part a waste of time because they've already decided. So for the people that are listening to this podcast, I would say, and I don't want to get too spiritual in this, but I'm a big Jim Rohn fan, not the sports guy, but
the original.
and one of his favorite, one of my favorite things, he's now passed away, but one of my favorite things, and it always stuck with me, was he talks about when Christ did his Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Bible, it's very clearly described this event. And it said in the Bible that there were some that mocked and laughed, and there were some that were confused, and there are some that didn't know what he was talking about. And then there were some who believed.
Yep. Right?
And there is no message in the Bible that Christ went back and tried to stop the mockers and laughers or tried to unconfuse the confused. He spent his time on the believers.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean that some of the mockers and laughers don't eventually become believers, but they will do that on their own. Christ spent all of his time on his believers, right? So that's a very powerful moment, a powerful message for me that Jim Rohn was talking about. And so what I'm saying to everybody is that I, every now and then I'll get a call. I got two calls back to back yesterday. I always try not to go into the office in the middle of the afternoon because Jill loves to give me the phone if there's somebody that, and so I end up having to visit with them. It's a love-hate relationship. Anyhow, I'm visiting with one of the guys, and he was a cynic from California.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
is this a father or a coach?
He was a father.
Okay.
And obviously he had some really bad experiences for his son earlier. And so he just thought we were another one of those bad experiences.
Yeah.
And so he called basically to complain about the cost of the training. And complain about, you know, no one can teach velocity and no one, you know. And so basically, I was very polite, but I tried to get off the phone as soon as I possibly could because that's a cynic, right? That's a mocker and a laugher, or right? I'm not going to spend my time with that. Now, maybe in 2 years, he comes to a point that now he's open to what I have to say, but on the very next call, I called somebody. Talked to somebody that actually was a skeptic and was a completely different conversation because they just wanted to know. And
they
so the I talked about the process, you could tell him like, well, that makes sense. Sign me up. right? Right. And so what I'm saying to everybody here is you have to decide whether either you're owning a business and running a business, or whether you are deciding on a service or whatever. You got to decide: are you a skeptic or are you a cynic? And are you dealing with skeptics or are you dealing with cynics? And I do not waste my time with cynics. And I have cynics on my family, right? So I don't know if almost all of us do. Like, yeah. If I go home for Christmas or Thanksgiving and we have our dinner, I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave this topic alone. I'm not going to be talking about this because it's a closed thing, right? And so there's not, right. Because you know me, I can talk to anybody. You can have an opinion on anything and I'm okay with you. But when you try to impose your opinion on me, now we have a problem, right? And I would never try to impose my view upon you. But we know that there are people like that. And so cynics are there all the time. And I view probably about 10 or 12 years ago, Steve, I decided, you know what? I'm going to spend my time with the people that are curious and the people that are skeptical, not people that are cynical. So once I kind of identify that, I'm out, right? That's been a very good thing for me.
That's a huge lesson for anyone, especially if you're selling an idea.
Yeah.
You know, like I was at Tiger Medical and
100%.
You know what I mean? And that really is that was good for me just now, because that's where we've really developed in 2022. In the last part of last year. And it was because I quit spending time with cynics and I focused on the believers and the people who were open to the conversation. And thank you, Ron. Talk about your mentors. One of them is Jim Rohn, obviously. So talk about your mentors.
Oh my gosh. I will say that once again, I know this is going to sound way too maybe spiritual for a lot of people. On my, if you look right over out of my corner, right over here, there's a picture of Christ at the Last Supper cleaning the feet of his disciples, right? Now, why would I pick that thing to see every day? And it's really clear, and I do mean this from a business standpoint as well, right?
Yep.
From a leadership standpoint. If the King of Man, on his very last supper, is not having his feet cleaned by his underlings or his disciples, he is cleaning the feet of them. It tells me, it's a very powerful message that servant leadership.
Yes.
Right. It's being about something more than just myself.
Yep.
And so that's a very powerful message to me. So not only am I'm serving my clients, but I'm serving my employees. So every day I try to talk to my employees and I say, is there any way I can help you today do a better job? Is there anything as far as resources or support is there any way I can help you do a better? Now, I don't always say it that way. Sometimes I do, but most of the time it's more subtle than that. But I try to touch my people every single day. And that has really blessed. So on one part, you could say it's a blessing. But even if you didn't believe in the blessing part, the bottom line is my company has exploded in ability and in profitability. And I think it's exactly because of that. Because the clients that come in feel like I am serving them. And then also in retrospect, everybody around me has taken that same approach and is serving the clients. I can't, and I know you've experienced it. Not only did you, I think, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but when you come to the ranch, so many other people around are very helpful and it's a culture that is really geared to helping and supporting others, right?
100%, I agree. And you know, in my last business with the pet franchise, we had a servant leadership model. We inverted the whole thing. I was on the bottom, everybody else was on top. And I used to say employees are number one, our clients are number two.
Right.
And because our employees would do a great job with those clients because I'm, you know, I can only be in one place. We had almost 50 locations. So they, there had to be intrinsic motivation going on inside every person who faced a client. That's what you're talking about here is creating that.
Yeah, and I know it absolutely is. And so when I look at that drawing, it's a beautiful black and white drawing every single day. It reminds me.
Yeah.
And I have it and have it in three different places. I have a beautiful bronze statue of it in our right over our mantle. And I have one at the ranch and I have one here. It's just a reminder of to me where my place is in this process. My role is to be a servant leader, to really take care of the people that are in my charge. Right. So to take care of the people in my, not to be in charge of them, to take people who are in my charge. Right. And, so that's one of the reasons that I lose very few employees. And when they do go, they obviously go with such great memories and great thoughts of the ranch. And that, so now my, like I have, the assistant general manager of the Cleveland Indians is one of my former employees, the pitching coordinator for the Colorado Rockies is one of my employees, and I can go on and on. And I talk to them almost daily. That growth now, it's powerful, and it all starts with they never felt like they were working for me. Yeah. They were working with me in a culture to help someone else, and I think that's so powerful. If we're talking about a business podcast, I think if you get that right,
yes,
the client, I can walk into a restaurant, restaurant, and I can tell how good the management is by how I'm treated by the server or by the hostess. Just immediately, I can tell.
Yeah, right. In a minute. Yeah. Well, Peter Drucker talks about culture eats strategy for lunch, and that's what you're talking about here is that culture.
Yeah. And so, you know, we you and I are sports guys. We were in sports way before we were in business.
Right. And
everybody talks about culture in sports. Right. I had one of my best friends, a really good friends is Brent Strom, who's the pitching coach of the Arizona Diamondbacks. We've been friends for 20 years. We vacationed together in Europe. And and he said to me, not too long ago, he goes, well, we brought in this culture guy to help with our team. And that's with the Astros. And I laughed at him and he goes, what are you laughing at?
Culture guy.
Yeah. And I'm like, and this is not, has anything to do with the cheating scandal. That was afterwards.
Right.
My words were kind of prolific. Prophetic. He said, what do you mean? And I'm like, you brought in a culture guy, right? But the guy in the locker room can be traded, waived without even consider. There's no concern for him at all. They're treated like pawns.
Yep.
And you're going to bring in a culture guy that, and they may even sit there and take notes. And as soon as you leave the room, they're going to laugh at you. Like there's no cult family. So you and I have children.
Yeah.
If they perform poorly in a classroom or sports, we don't go to our wives and go, well, you know, we should trade Colin for a son to be named later.
Yeah.
Family is you are in regardless of the outcome. You're in, right? You have got their back. And that is so, and actually Colin mentioned that to me when he was training at the ranch. He goes, I always felt like you guys had my back here. And I didn't get that when I played. I mean, my coaches who I thought should have had my back didn't have my back, but I always felt you guys did. And it's a powerful thing.
Right.
I do think that when people talk about culture all the time, I listen to it starting, Steve, I'm polite and I listen to it. And then when they go in, I'm like, no, you you're talking about a form of manipulation. You're trying to manipulate the your underlings and have them, you know, either more compliant or more motivated, which is, I don't know if it's good or bad. That's your thing. But actual culture is the hard slog of taking care of the people in your charge. And that isn't a strategy. That isn't, you know, somebody coming in and talking to the troops.
Hiring a guy, right.
Yeah, no, that's not it. And they missed that, right? So really true culture, a really true good culture is cultivated every single day. It is not, it's not a soundbite. It's not a presentation. It's not an event where everybody goes on to a bunch of rock climbing and tree. Okay. Those are not bad. I'm not saying they're bad per se, but that's just not the same as really developing culture. And, and I think Major League Baseball, I think most sports organizations, they're awful. They have a culture there. There's no doubt. And Steve, you and I both know there are some cultures that are better than others, but actually those players actually learn to play for each other. They play for their brother to the right or their sister to the right or to the left.
Right.
They develop their own culture. And so very few professional sports have a very good culture because they treat their players as interchangeable cogs.
Right.
And, I don't view you as, I view you as a dear friend. I'm not a cog in some of your machine of some sort. Right.
Right. No,
You really do care for me. And if I was sick or something was going on, you would pick up the phone and go, hey, is there anything I can do? Is there anything way I can help? Right. And that's developing culture and not, and not just some sort of, trickeration,
manipulation
has to be, motivated or whatever. That's kind of silly.
So Ron, tell the audience about, is there a profile, who's your ideal best client?
Okay.
Age range and all that kind of stuff.
It's going to shock some people because the guy that is really super talented, that throws very hard, that is a potential first round draft pick is not one of my potential clients. They don't need me. They may eventually, but they don't perceive that need yet. Right. My ideal client, my ideal avatar, is 15 to 18 years old, kind of Colin Adam, who wants to play at the next level and for whatever reason is having some limitation or constraint, sometimes arm health, sometimes velocity, sometimes command, sometimes secondary pitch, sometimes mindset, sometimes consistency, but they have some sort of limitation or constraint they don't know how to address, right? They're stuck and they don't know why. And so that's my ideal client. And there's a whole bunch of them, right? Thank goodness
for you. But also because of the way you approach the business, it's also the right place for them to go because they're not coming to a cookie cutter factory that says they all come out throwing this way.
Yep.
You work with how they work. Right. Yeah.
And they really do feel, that's the other thing. You and I and everybody listening, when someone tries to treat us like a number or just a pawn, we just reject that. We hate it, right? I mean, my joke always is, how well do you feel like when you go to the post office or the DMV and you take a number and you got to write? We don't like that feeling. It feels cold. It feels impersonal, and it doesn't feel like it makes a difference. Right. I remember at the University of Nebraska, I got all my grades by walking. Remember my social security number, probably can't do that anymore. Thank goodness. But I would just look at my social security number and there's my grade. And I was never sure if the professor even knew my name. I was 506, 92, right. And it felt impersonal, and that doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good. So one of the things we do is when people drive into the ranch, they have their own parking spot with their sign, right? Welcome to the Texas Baseball Ranch, Colin Adams and family. And immediately, well, first of all, even they drive through, there's a tent and there's a hostess there going, "Hello, Mr. Adams. Welcome to the Texas Baseball Ranch. If you go down to parking spot 13, about halfway down, there'll be a person to point you to the sign." So they point you to the sign, you park your car, and then you come in and you come into the ranch, you sit down in the theater, and up on the screen is a sign as it's rolling through, and it says, "Here's Colin Adams from Lansing, Michigan." And it has a picture of him and a picture of the family. Yep. So immediately, before they even hear me talk, they realize that we as a ranch value them enough to create their own parking spot and to create their own thing on our board, which is probably more than many of them have ever had anybody ever do for them in their baseball career. Even the people that supposedly said they cared for them or coached them. And so immediately they're like, "I don't know, this guy may not know anything, but at least like he thinks I'm important." And then and then I get up there and in the staff, and if we try to blow them away with how much we do know and how much we can help, and then it's over, right? And then they're "Oh my gosh." And I had so many parents tell me, "Steve, this, we thought we were coming to a camp. This was an event.
Yeah.
It's not a camp. This was an event." And it's kind of like the difference between going to Six Flags and going to Disney, right?
Yeah. Right.
It's like there's rides at both places.
Right.
The level is just completely different. And so one of the books that I read that I would highly recommend to people that are in a business that can be replicated is the name of the book is Uncopyable. And I really like that, because how can you make you so that if somebody wants to copy you, it is so hard, right? Right. And I will promise you, there's been people tried to copy the Texas Baseball Ranch because we are the gold standard for pitching camps. And yet I can just feel this.
Pitching events.
Yeah, they just go, they probably started to try to copy us and they go, "Oh, for heaven's sake, that's just too much," right? And then this, "Oh, that's too much." And then this, and pretty soon they, you know, it to well, copy well, people, us would be incredibly difficult to do that.
Yeah. Don't understand is there's incredible, like they see the simplicity of what you're doing, but there's incredible complexity. I learned this from you, by the way. All these years of you investing in this and making it better and better, there's great sophistication and complexity underneath the hood, but it looks simple. And I did the same thing in my pet business, you know. And I remember my partners didn't want me to publish my book back in 2013 because they said, "You're kind of giving away the sauce." And I said, "I'm not. They won't do the work. They won't make the investment. They won't do the decade that it took to create what we had."
You are so, that is exactly right. Right.
Right.
There are people that try to say the same things and try to do the thing, but they will not do all the groundwork.
Right.
That, in that decade of sophisticated, detailed, specific paying attention to really meticulous detail, they will not do it.
Right.
And that's what separates you in any form, in any business that you go in, right? If you're going to talk about Steve Jobs all the way to Elon Musk, to Walt Disney, to Bezos, it doesn't matter, right? You can agree with them, don't agree with them, whatever. Take a look at the things that they do. The really exciting thing is if you just had a mom and pop restaurant down the street, And I use the restaurant because it's a very common example. You know, we all go into restaurants, and that you could really stand on the shoulders of giants, understand all these things, and you could create a business that is incredible, whether you wanted to franchise it or not, because most restaurants are simply unwilling to do all the little things that are required to be that. And once you're able to do that and put it in a system, man, it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah. Well, Ron, where can people find you if they want, you know, if they've got somebody they think would benefit from your training, how do they find you? You know, what else do you want to say about the ranch?
Sure. Well, first of all, we're such a online world anymore. You can find us at online at texasbaseballranch.com. Mm-hmm. And for all of your listeners, any people would like, I have a book that's called Pitching with Confidence. It really is, it's a survival guide for the parent of the, of the youth baseball player, kind of a survival guide. Every chapter is designed, as a question that I have answered hundreds of times over the course of your life. Like, what about college, scholarship? What about showcases? What about weighted balls? What about curveballs? What about improving velo? So each of these are chapters. If they would like I would be happy to send them a free book. And really, you can kind of learn all of it, all of the ranch's philosophies and everything on there. And if they like it signed, if they could just tell me who they would like it signed to. And if they would just email us at info@thetexasbaseballranch.com, I'd happy to send them a free autographed book. It has also some of the information on if you'd like to come to one of the boot camps or the summer program or if they're ever in the greater Houston area, we're in Montgomery, which is north up by Woodlands and Conroe. Mm-hmm. If they would ever want to just stop by, there's never a fee to observe or come by and see us. If they would just do that. If you go on to the texasbaseballranch.com, you can request a packet of information that has a flash drive that has everything regarding these events that are there for mm-hmm. you. So you can reach us, and also you can call the office at 936-588-6762, and Alexa Woolforth would be happy to help you. That's my daughter-in-law. She just got married to Garrett this November, she's our event coordinator. So when I say that we're family, I almost mean it. We're all.
So general information, go to the texasbaseballranch.com. And if somebody wants the Pitching with Confidence book, go to info@thetexasbaseballranch.com and send an email or call. The show notes, guys.
They heard about you. They heard about us through you. And I'd be happy to send them a book. They just got to give me their mailing address, and I will send it to you. And if they, once again, if they want it signed, I used to say to tell my wife, no one's going to want that signed, and she would always scold me. And and so I always say that now, and I probably 75% would like to have it signed.
Yeah.
Happy to have it signed.
I got signed books by you. I like them. So
So if you'd like it signed, just let me know who you would like that to be signed to, and I would be happy to send that to you. At no cost whatsoever.
And all of that will be in our show notes. The guys do a great job of getting that accurate in there. So, and this should be out in a couple of weeks live. So I guess we'll wrap it up. Ron, thank you for being on the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Well, it's really good. I want to say this to you, Steve. Thank you for everything that you do for executives like me that, you know, that it's a very hectic It's a very, our lives are very full, and we want to live more of it. And I know you and I have talked about your father and my father, and how we'd like to have, you know, now that we are more successful, we'd like to have, be able to live the life, and enjoy the fruits of our labor. And I will say this to you, that I have looked, I was just telling Jill this about 2 weeks ago, I looked over with my Aura ring, and so you can tell I have it on here.
Yeah, me too.
I looked over my, the whole, I've been doing this for now
about quite a year.
And the sleep, you could just see my sleep,
better.
Just slowly, steadily. And I will tell you that the nights that I am not in optimal is rare.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah.
The probably my average sleep over the last 3 months is 85, 87.
It's tremendous. And that has such a huge impact on your future longevity.
Yeah. And my HRV, of course, was good to begin with, but it stayed right there. And so I want to personally thank you for that, because if nothing else, that has changed my life. I go to, you and I were talking off air. I go to my sauna and I do my meditation. I do my breathing, and you know, my heart rate's in the 40s at night, and you know, it's fantastic. And so, and Dr. Matt has been fantastic. I look forward to, I've got another meeting scheduled with him not too long. Yeah. And anyhow, it's been, I wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you.
And it's the actual measurable improvement on my sleep has been phenomenal.
I love it. You know, we're both in the new you business, and we're both transforming people's lives. And so, it, you know, that's the fuel that keeps me going. And, you know, stories of kids, you know, going to the next level is the fuel that keeps you going. So,
right. Yeah. That's right. Well, thank you for inviting me. And it's been a pleasure and honor. Hopefully you'll have me back and we get to talk the basketball story.
Because we will do that.
That's fun. That's fun.
All right. Thank you for appearing on the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Tiger Performance Podcast. We'll see you again next time, and be sure to click subscribe to get the future episodes.